the most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top six things to know about Magic Bands. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 47 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of November 15th, 2015. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Before we get into the topic for today, please hang on until the end of the show. I've got some information on how we can stay in touch and some important details on how you can win a great prize just for listening. Back in February of 2011, Disney approved a budget for an eye-popping $1 billion to implement a project codenamed at that time Next Generation Experience, or NGE. The original target to roll out the Next Generation Experience system was by February of 2012, but the project didn't really wrap up until January of 2013, when Disney officially unveiled My Magic Plus. A key part of My Magic Plus, which is really a collection of many different technologies, is the Magic Band. The Magic Band originally cost more than $35 each to make, but Disney has been able to bring down the cost well below $5 today. The current design of Magic Band was developed by quite a famous design firm called Frog, and a company called Jabil Circuits, based out of St. Petersburg, Florida, actually manufactures the bands for Disney. Today, we're going to take a detailed look at this amazing new technology and the top six things to know about Magic Bands. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome someone who has spent some time putting his own Magic Band under the knife, Aaron Cohen. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on. That's true. I mean, I didn't cut into the band itself, but I cut into the decorations that I then put on the band.
Yeah, it's a figurative under the knife, so.
Right, that's fair. I don't recommend cutting into the band if anyone, you know, thought that was a good idea. I don't recommend that.
Yeah, unless you're just looking to dissect it and throw it away when you're done. Not smart to actually cut it into pieces, so. Okay, good. Well, let's start with our famous warm-up question. Ready?
Sure.
It's Tough to Be a Bug or Muppet Vision 3D?
Oh, wow. You know, that's interesting because they're similar in the sense that they're both 3D movies with kind of an interactive surrounding to them, but they're very different experiences. You know, I want to give the edge to Muppets because it's such a nostalgic part of Hollywood Studios, and of course the Muppets is a nostalgic, you know, characters and all that. It's just a fun show. It's a show that hasn't changed in a very long time, but it's a fun show. It's just Tough to Be a Bug, a little bit more educational, but has the really cool technology in the seats and the surrounding areas. You've got like the stink bug stink wafting at you. You've got bugs running under your butt in the seats and stuff like that. So different, but I think just sheer nostalgia, I'm going to give it to Muppets.
I am there with you. I do enjoy It's Tough to Be a Bug. Actually, it's something I hadn't seen in a long time. I went back and saw again recently. And there are some neat effects going on there with spiders coming down, and the animatronics that are built into the show are really good. You're right, it's got a nice educational component to it. So it's a good show. I would definitely recommend it. But I don't really have as deep a connection with the characters in that story than I do in Muppets. So when I see Kermit or Fozzie in Muppets, I've got a much stronger connection to them. And I just love the zany antics of Muppets anyway. I think they just do crazy stuff and that it's fun and they're a little bit satirical. So I'm also a fan of Muppets Vision 3D. And if I had to pick one of the two, I would give it to the Muppets.
Yes, but if you get the choice, go see them both.
Exactly. Definitely agree. Okay, so today, the top six things to know about Magic Bands. And as always, we're over to you, Aaron, for number one.
All right, so number one for me is just a little bit about what the Magic Bands are and what they do. And they really are your just one-stop access to so many things within the parks. And when I talk about some of the features, it's important to note that some of the features are taking into account that you're staying on property at a Disney resort. They are actually free if you are staying at a Disney hotel. If you book your resort reservation at some point before your vacation, they will send you the Magic Bands. They're personalized. They've got, you know, each person's name on them. You can actually pick which name. It's on them if you have a nickname you'd rather use. You pick your color, and they send them to you. You can buy them on property if you're not staying on property and you want to still utilize one. You can do that. But if you are staying at a Disney resort, they will send them to you at no additional charge. So they are your room key if you're staying on property. All you do is hold up the bracelet to your the electronic lock on your door, and it opens up. They're used for shopping in the shops and the restaurants. Every cash register has a little unit in front of it with a little Mickey symbol on it and a number pad. You put the bracelet to the Mickey, it lights up, you put in the PIN code, your own PIN code, and there you go. You've just bought something. They're used for FastPass Pluses. When you choose your FastPass Pluses, they're automatically saved to the Magic Band. So when you go to the ride at your allotted time for your FastPass time, you just scan it at at the little station, and it's going to get you into the ride. They're your park tickets. When you get there at the front gate, it knows how many days you've got. It knows everything. You put it to the little ball with the Mickey head on it. It lights up. It turns green. You're good to go. So this one bracelet really, first of all, just eliminates the need for a lot of other things to carry, you know, having, you know, your room card and your park tickets and your fast passes and, you know, all these different things. It eliminates it. It puts it into one really cool bracelet that you just wear on your wrist and just really opens up a lot of different features, which is really cool.
That is cool. You know, as you were going through the list, I never had sat down and numbered out in my own mind how many different things a Magic Band can really do, but it does a lot. Just like you said, keys, shopping, dining, FastPass, admission tickets. That's a lot of stuff going on in there.
Photo pass.
Yeah.
When you get your Memory Maker, they're calling it now. When you get your photo taken, they just scan your Magic Band, and the photos are saved to your account. They really do a lot, and do them well. I mean, last time I wore one was back in February for a trip, and, you know, occasionally it gets a little wonky trying to get into your room. You really have to line up on the bracelet itself, this little Mickey Mouse head, which is where the chip is centered. And I found that you really had to line it up directly with the sensor on the door. It wasn't hard, it just actually took a little bit of work, a little bit of, you know, that extra couple of seconds of work. But it, I mean, for the most part, they work really well, and they just really just get you in and make everything easier for you.
Hmm. And that is a very good tip about how you have to line up the head of the Magic Band to the reader. So many times I've seen people sort of hold their reader or hold the Magic Band next to the reader or sort of off to the side, and inevitably the cast member will say Mickey to Mickey, and people sort of get it then. It's like, okay, there's the Mickey symbol on the Magic Band. I need to hold that directly in front of the Mickey reader, and then it works. But that's probably one of the more complicated things, and that's not so complicated, but that I've seen. No. When it comes to Magic Bands,
I found once we got used to kind of the angle we had to put our wrists to hit the sensor, after that first few minutes, we were fine for the rest of the trip. You know, the first time you have to think Mickey to Mickey, like you said, but then once you start doing it, it kind of becomes second nature for the remainder of the vacation.
Yeah. This is a really good tip, and I think an important one for people to remember if they're not so excited about a fashion accessory that they didn't plan on. That Magic Band really does a lot for you. So that's a good tip. Number one, it is one step access for a lot of different things. Okay, number two is over to me, and I'm going to share something that I didn't realize until recently, and that is that Magic Bands are waterproof. Now, they don't float, so I wouldn't necessarily toss it to the bottom of the pool. You may not find it, but it is good to know that if it rains, if you go into the pool, if you're going to a water park, the band should be just fine. And I think this is especially helpful if you are planning to spend some time at Blizzard Beach or Typhoon Lagoon. Because just like Aaron, you said in number one, there are so many things you can do with that band that you wouldn't necessarily be able to do so easily if you're in your swimming trunks and don't want to carry around a wallet and keys and a phone. And now you don't have to. You have your waterproof band. If you want to buy lunch, you can do it without having wet dollar bills. If you want to get a photograph from a PhotoPass photographer, you can do it without carrying around a card. The fact that they're waterproof really adds a good dimension to their durability, especially when you consider all the things you can now do at the water parks that weren't so easy to do in the past.
Absolutely, and we were talking a bit before we started recording about that, and you know, when I last was at Typhoon Lagoon was before the magic bands were rolled out, and it was kind of a pain. You know, when we wanted to eat, we had to go back to our locker, we had to get our wallet, we had to go, you know, get food, go back to our locker, put it back. We saw a character meet and greet and didn't even stop for it because we didn't have a camera on us, we didn't have our photo pass card on us, and we didn't feel like running back to get it, to run back and wait in line just to go put it back again later to go back in the pools. And so I haven't been to Typhoon Lagoon since the Magic Bands came out, but I can see where that would be a much easier experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting when you think about this Magic Band, which has got some pretty sophisticated technology going on in it. The fact that it was made waterproof really makes it especially useful at the water parks. But it also means that you don't have to worry about that Magic Band. So if it's a really hot day and you're sweating a lot, or if you get caught in a typical Florida downpour, it should be A-okay. It's really not going to impact it.
And what's cool about them, too, and this isn't really related to that, but, you know, if you're worried about your kid wearing it and something like that, they are adjustable. The bands have several holes, you know, like a watch band. But they're actually made, if you've got someone with a smaller wrist, they're actually made to separate into a smaller piece to accommodate kids wearing them as well. So, you know, a young one can wear them into the pool as well, and it's going to fit. It's not going to slide off.
That is a really good point, and I think that's one of the geniuses of the design of the Magic Band. And so the good folks at Disney and probably at Frog were thinking ahead of the fact that a lot of people who are going to wear this are going to be kids, and something that fits an adult might not fit a kid, and yet they can manufacture a single band that can, in effect, pull the outside of it off so it becomes smaller and then fits a kid's wrist much more comfortably and much better. And I think that's a really neat design item about the band. Okay, so number three, we are back over to you.
Yeah, so my third one is kind of information, kind of a warning in a way. So the first time I used a Magic Band was this past February. I had gone to the parks, and Magic Band cool is it makes everything so easy. But with ease comes some degree of caution. And that's simply, it's so much easier now to buy things. You know, you don't have to get your wallet out, get your credit card out, you know, count out cash. It's just, you put your wrist to a sensor and you type in your PIN and you're done. And so there's almost no second, that extra few seconds you need to maybe think about a purchase. You know, my wife and I tend to be very, very careful when we shop. We don't really buy a ton in the parks. We're pretty careful about our souvenirs. But as we were doing it, we could see it would be very easy to just not really think about it because you're not seeing a credit card, you're not seeing cash, you know, it doesn't necessarily translate to money in your head. It's all being charged. If you chose to attach a credit card to the band, like to your room, and it's charging your room, it is obviously possible to not do that and make it so you cannot purchase with them. So this warning is if you have chosen to unlock that feature. You know, once you take the actual physical seeing your money out of the equation, I could see where it would be very easy to not think about it until after the fact, and suddenly you spent considerably more than you thought. So it's a bit of just a warning to be aware that it is a lot easier, but that does require, you know, potentially some extra forethought on the part. That being said, one of the cool things about Magic Bands is the security. If you happen to drop your Magic Band and lose it, for example, somebody else can't pick it up and use it, because when you first get your band, the first time you use it, when you go to check into your Disney resort, you have to enter a PIN, a personal identification number, into the keypad, and just like an ATM card. So someone can't just pick it up and start spending. You know, they'd have to know your PIN. Also, obviously, they wouldn't know all the resorts and all the rooms on property, it's unlikely someone's going to know exactly which room you're in and which resort. So that's unlikely as well. So they do have some safety features built in, and you can go to guest service and explain that, that you lost it, and they can obviously help you from there if that happens. But you don't have to worry about someone picking it up and suddenly having a spending spree. You know, so it's just something that I noticed where it, it almost seems like when you're not, it almost makes it seem, it almost, I can see where it would be, you're not thinking necessarily that you're paying for it, you're just putting your bracelet to the thing, and so it's something to be to think about when you're using them and be a little careful with.
That is a very good point. We often hear in the internet world about the idea of frictionless sale. You want to make it as easy as possible. And I think Disney has now done that in our physical world. It has made being able to buy things pretty much as easy as possible. Holding up your wrist to a reader and typing in a PIN, it makes it so simple that you do want to be careful in how much money you spend. You talked about the safeguard of the PIN for making the purchase. And I think it's also good that there's the safeguard for your ticket as well, in that it's connected to your fingerprint or something like your fingerprint.
Right, the biometrics, yeah.
Yeah, so people can't really just pick up a band and start spending away the days that you have purchased, because it's associated with you, and so there's another safeguard there too. But it does mean you still want to be careful in planning about how much you're spending and safeguarding it, because you just want to hold on to it even though there are those pins and those biometrics in place.
Yeah, and there's no identifying features really on the band itself. You know, there's your name on it, but it's just your first name or a nickname if you chose that. But there's nothing on there that says who you are, where you're staying. It's just a colored piece of rubber with some, you know, markings on the front and back, and that's really it. So, you know, so they actually are, I think, as secure as they could be and still do all the things they do.
Yeah. And that is a good point, because there is a balance between the convenience of it and the security of it. So, you know, I guess you could have to fill out a piece of paper and a form every time if you wanted it to be really, really secure, but then it's not as convenient anymore. So there seems like a fine balancing act there, and it seems like there's a good balance in place today.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That was number three. So number four is back over to me. And something I think that is interesting about Magic Bands is that you can associate multiple bands with your My Disney Experience account. So if you go into the parks these days, you're going to find that there are a lot of bands for sale. So bands that are keyed off of Star Wars or characters or have interesting designs in them. And so if you have an interest in purchasing a band, even if you've gotten one for free, you can do that and have that band associated with your My Disney Experience account. And in the same way, if you are a day guest and you don't get a free Magic Band because you're not staying in a Disney property, you can also buy one of those bands in the park and have it associated with your account. And in the same way, if you're a repeat guest, you could actually reuse an old band, or you could choose to get a new one. So it comes down to the fact that your My Disney Experience account allows you to associate different bands or even the different plastic cards, if you're, say, a pass holder, with your account. So it doesn't have to be a one-for-one, and that gives you a lot of flexibility in reusing an old band or getting a new one with an interesting design.
Yeah, that's really cool. And, you know, if you are a repeat guest, and, for example, Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, the interactive card game, they actually save your game to your Magic Band. So, you know, there could be a valid reason if you went back 6 months later to have that same band, so you can continue your game if that's something you want to do. Whether you're wearing that band as you're using band, or you just keep it in your pocket for that, obviously that's your choice. And it is really cool the way it attaches to the My Disney Experience account on a smartphone, for example, because, you know, you can look at, because the Magic Band doesn't have any kind of screen or indicator on it, you use the Disney account to, you know, look at your fast passes and stuff like that, and it's like, oh, I need to be at Peter Pan between 12:30 and 1:30, and, you know, so it really is a good, like, balance between using, you know, the app and the Magic Band together. It's a really, from a technology standpoint, it's really cool.
Yeah. And this is a little bit of an aside, but I would like to add in that I think the My Disney Experience system has really improved when it comes to the app and the website. So like any big and complicated computer system, there's a time of shaking out the bugs and a time to improve. And as someone who's used that system for a while, I have really seen the improvements both in the Wi-Fi access that Disney has put throughout the parks, as well as the mobile app. I've just seen both of those things improve quite a bit since the system was originally released. And I would imagine they're going to continue to fine-tune those. So the internet access you need, the My Disney Experience app that you need, and the Magic Band, I think they're all working better and better as time goes on, and that will probably continue.
Oh yeah, I mean the app when I'm there is invaluable. Just for everything from keeping track of fast passes to checking wait times to even making dinner reservations, which obviously in many cases you have to do well ahead of time, but you can definitely check a restaurant right from your phone, and if there's space available, book it. And it's really, they've raised the convenience level considerably, and it's really cool.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Definitely agree. Okay, that was number four. So number five, Aaron, back over to you.
So for this one, this is, personal to me because I've actually done this. And the thing about the Magic Bands is, as we said, they're fairly featureless. It is a colored piece of rubber that you put around your wrist. There is a little Mickey emblem on the top of it, which is your chip that you put in the sensor. And that's really it. You can choose your color when you first order your Magic Band from a small selection, and you can either wear it as is, or you can do what I did and decorate it. And you can make it your own and really make a statement. You can actually buy a variety of Magic Band accessories at the parks. Sliders that just go onto them with different characters, stickers that go on them. As you said, you can actually even buy just different custom Magic Bands and then have them linked to your account. So if you go to the parks and you fall in love with a Haunted Mansion themed one, you can buy it, you can link it to your account, and you can start wearing that one instead of your plain orange one if you chose to. But what a lot of people do, myself included, is decorate them ourselves. And that is, some people just buy some stickers and put them on there. I actually, my wife and I, went through a very elaborate, time-consuming process of essentially putting temporary tattoos, designing temporary tattoos, printing them out on the printer, and adhering them to the Magic Bands themselves. It's really an opportunity to, make, like you said, some people don't necessarily want to wear this extra fashion accessory they hadn't really planned on wearing. But you do have the opportunity to really make it your own and really make it stand out and really make it a part of your outfit, part of your experience, and, part of your personality.
Mm. This is a good point. And so the work that you and your wife, Gilly, did in customizing your own bands was amazing. I'll actually put a link to your website with a particular page showing that design project so people can take a look, especially if you are a fan of old school Epcot or if you're a Mary Blair fan, you'll want to check that out. And this has been something interesting to watch since the bands came out. So people can buy, Aaron, as you said, the band, and it's to sort of customize it. And it seems to me like I'm seeing more and more people do that. It's fairly easy to do if you just want to put a sticker on or buy a bandit. Or if you really want to get into the design process and truly go all out, I've seen some very interesting designs where people are putting sparkles and colors and all sorts of things. And like you say, really making it their own. So it's not something you have to do, but for some folks, it can be a lot of fun and probably an exciting part of the planning experience and getting ready for your trip.
Oh yeah, we had a lot of fun, and as you said, you were gonna link to that page, and I really just listed out the entire process and the trial and error and stuff like that from the design to the application, and not only was it a lot of fun to do, but it was a lot of fun at the parks, because people would see them and they would point them out, and we go to scan something and a cast member would comment on them, and talk about them for a moment. It really started conversations. And obviously, we're huge fans. We're a little extreme with the do-it-yourself stuff, so we, you know, had to make our own. Obviously, there's definitely no shame in just buying some bandits and attaching them yourself. but it really does, customizing it is fun, and it really, you know, especially maybe if you've got a couple of kids who all chose the same color. The names are on the back, but it's an easy way to just give everyone a different character sticker on it or something like that, and it's a really good way to see the difference quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a great idea. I think we're going to see more and more of this. Actually, I've heard of several companies that pop up where they make accessories for the Magic Band, so slip covers with designs, that sort of thing. I could imagine seeing Disney release more and more bandits, the charms that you add on to it. So I think we've seen a lot of very interesting and fun work in this area, and I can imagine that we're going to see more and more of it in the future. Okay, that was number five, fun to decorate. So back over to me for the last item, which is number six. And something interesting about the Magic Band is the ability for it to help tailor your Disney experience. So we talked about upfront the fact that it acts as your room key, your ticket, your shopping, your dining, your fast pass. But it's even doing more, and I think we're probably just seeing the tip of the iceberg. So if you go on the Tower of Terror and you have a Magic Band on, it can connect a little video to your... it used to be PhotoPass, now it's Memory Maker account, because the Tower of Terror knows you are on this ride with your Magic Band and can create something very special for you in your account. Same thing with Be Our, well, not the same thing, but also interesting, would Be Our Guest, where you put your order in, you go find a table and you sit down, and then the server is able to find you at your table because it can locate you with your Magic Band. And I think we're probably going to see more issues like this coming up, more features like this coming up where Disney can tailor your experience. There's been a lot of talk about if and when characters may eventually know your name because Disney can read your Magic Band. Your band is associated with who you are, and then maybe Mickey could greet you by name. And I would suspect that over time, we're going to see more and more of this tailoring your experience using the technology that has been deployed in My Disney Experience and in the Magic Bands. It's probably going to be very exciting to see what's to come.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when last time I was there and using the Magic Band, we went on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and they've got the video thing for the Memory Maker, where it just takes a short, you know, clip at a couple points on the ride, and it knew which car we were on, and we checked our Memory Maker account later, and there was our video waiting to be watched. We didn't have to stop and wait in a huge crowd of people looking for which video was ours. We didn't have to do anything except wear a Magic Band on the ride, and it did the rest. And it was really cool. And, you know, I have heard some people... You know, heard some mutterings. Some people feel that, you know, they question, like, the privacy and security aspects of it. And the reality is they already know you're in the park because you used it to get in. So Disney already knew any property. And they're not tracking your every movement. They've made it very clear that, sure, the tech is there, but they're not doing that. That's an invasion of privacy. And it's really no different than what your cell phone already does. I was actually out the other day, and I opened Facebook on my phone. I had a moment of downtime, and the first thing on the screen was, you know, see what other people have said about, you know, the location that I was at. The phone knew where I was, and was immediately tailoring the experience to the fact that I was there. And this is on my iPhone, so it's really no different than that. And the difference is they're really using it to tailor this magical experience to you. I have no problem with it. I haven't seen any evidence that they're somehow, you know, tracking people for nefarious purposes. They're just really trying to use it to streamline your vacation. And I'm definitely okay with that.
Yeah, me too. And I think you're right. I mean, Disney wants to be careful because they want people to be open to this because they want them to have a better experience. and, you know, ultimately tell people that they had a good experience and maybe spend a little bit more money along the way. So it's not really to Disney's advantage to do something creepy with this. And I'm sure they're very careful about that process and making sure that there's a good balance between tailoring an experience and maybe using the information that goes a step too far. And I think they've done a good job in that balancing process. Okay. Good.
Absolutely. And it's really added so much to the experience. You know, as we've been saying, it just streamlines so much. And, you know, you're not digging through your bag for your card. You're not, you know, dealing with keeping track of paper fast passes. You're not doing it. I mean, it's really just made it such, it's really taken a lot of the thought out of it and really giving you more time and brain power to just enjoy yourself, which was the point all along.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, we've made it through the top six. Do you have any bonus items you'd like to add in, Aaron?
I do have one, and this is this goes out to the video gamers who may be listening, specifically those that play Disney Infinity. And I'm a huge fan of the Disney Infinity series. They're on the third iteration of the series now, Disney Infinity 3.0. And these games, they have a little base and the action figures that you put on the base to then play in the game. So what a lot of people don't realize is you can actually put a Magic Band on the base and unlock things in the games. On the base, there's the circular panels where you put the figures, and there's the hexagon panel where you put the little playset piece. If you put the Magic Band, put the Mickey down on that, on the hexagon part of the pad, in each game it unlocks something different. In the first game it unlocked a dragon, what was called the Dragon Gate, which is a bunch of dragon accessories for the toy box. And the second one unlocked a small world facade for use if you're creating your own level. And the third one unlocked actually the partner statue with Walt and Mickey holding hands, which is for use in the toy box area of the game. So if you do have the game and you're into the toy box and making your own levels, unlocking things, put a Magic Band on the base and you'll get some cool things.
Wow, that's very interesting. Interesting crossover of how something created for the parks is now tied into the video game pieces. It'll be interesting to see where that goes in the future. So what new things you might be able to unlock or how this technology might be taken to other areas within the company. Very good. All right.
Yeah, definitely.
So we've made it through the top six things to know about Magic Bands. Number one, one-stop access. Number two, waterproof. Number three, be careful with your spending. Number four, you can associate multiple bands with your account. Number five, it's fun to decorate. And number six, it can be used to tailor your experience. So, Aaron, this has been a great conversation. As we've talked through it, I've been newly impressed with the technology and all the things that have been built in. I'm actually a little bit even surprised as we talk through on how many things there are to think about Magic Band and how much it really does to improve your Disney experience.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's really cool not only to see what the technology has brought already, but the potential for what they could do in the future with it.
Yeah, I think we'll see a lot more cool stuff to come. All right, fun conversation. Aaron, thanks so much for joining me today.
No, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Today, we head out to the music of the welcome ceremony at the Magic Kingdom, and we've made it through the list to the top six things to know about Magic Bands, but our conversation isn't over. I'd love to know what you think about our list, and maybe if you'd like to add something, you can do that. Visit the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/47. It's a page that works great on desktops, tablets, and smartphones. Leave your comments in the comments section and check out what other folks think as well. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch with me, like Greg, who wrote, "Just wanted to drop you a quick note and say thank you for the World of Walt podcast. I'm a first-time listener and started with episode 38, Spaceship Earth. Recently, I've expanded my subscription to quite a few different Disney-related podcasts, 60 to be exact. Obviously, I'll trim that down because there's no way I can listen to that many, but yours is definitely a keeper." Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that. I'd love to hear from you, too. It's easy to get in touch with me. Let me know what you think about today's show or just stop by and say hi.
shoot an email to me, info@worldofwalt.com. Leave a voicemail message at 407-391-5023. I may play it on the air. Leave an online voicemail message for me at worldofwalt.com/voicemail, or follow me on social media, facebook.com/worldofwalt or pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I would really appreciate it if you would tell your family and friends about it. I'd also like to invite you to enter a very special contest that's open to the folks who listen to this podcast and visit the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/47. There, you can enter to win a $100 Disney gift card. It's easy to enter by following the simple directions on that page, and it's my way of saying thanks for listening. To wrap up today, I would like to give you a huge thank you for spending some of your time with me today. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can read interesting Disney articles and chat with other folks who enjoy Disney in the forums and in the comment sections. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you, and that is extremely cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So, until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.